Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MB Pro Call. Today is August 22nd, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years' worth of archives. Couple real quick announcements. We have a couple classes left for our premium, a couple spots left for our premium installer course that begins on September 16th. So I'd love to have you there. If you have any installers that are looking to learn and get their certification and to grow. So we got a couple of those classes. Coming up here in September, I will be speaking at the Culligan Tri-State Convention. That same week, I will hopefully see you all at Midyear WQA, the Leadership Conference in Chicago, and then immediately after that, headed over to the Eastern Water Quality Association. I think I might have that. I mixed around. I think it's EWQA first.
First.
Is that right, Michelle? Yeah.
Yes.
EWQA first. I think I got them switched around. We've got a couple weeks in a row there that it's going to be crazy busy. So over at Eastern Water Quality Association, hope to see you guys there and then at the Culligan Tri-State and at the WQA Leadership Conference. So, and then I just wanted to remind everybody of the scholarship program that we put together. I got another call this week from somebody that I'm going to be helping out a little bit on one of the registrations I try and do that. I think that teaching people how to do proper drains and how to how to do things neat and proper, and I think it helps us all. And conversely, I think it hurts us all when we're not out there doing it. So we're trying to get as many people properly trained to the industry best practices as possible. I'm trying to do my part, to help those that are not able to, there's a cost associated with it, obviously. So I just want to remind everybody about the scholarship program. You can visit MotorVitality.com and, even donating $10 or $25, that goes a long way towards helping us in the industry all get better. So with that, I'm going to ask, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have? Ready? Well, then I think we can jump straight into our topic then today. So this was suggested by a listener, which I always appreciate. We do roughly 50 of these, 48 of these calls a year, and coming up with topics is a bit of a challenge sometimes. So I always love it when somebody gives me a suggestion and says, hey, why don't you talk about that? And that's what we have talked about this before, but I love it when somebody requests and says, yeah, let's, can we do that? Can we have that discussion? We're going to talk about builders today and working with builders. We only have about, 25 minutes to do that. And there's so much information available, when it comes to, just different suggestions and different experiences when it comes to working with builders. But I'm going to try and break it down a little bit and get some feedback from you guys on that. But does anybody out there have a successful, good, solid relationship with different builders around the area? Anybody on the call already have a good relationship with the local builder or builders? So when it comes to, this was a learning process for me, as I guess pretty much everything is. When I first started in the industry, in sales, I wanted those relationships. I wanted every referral opportunity possible. And I just really sought out the builders, just really went to work with the builders. I wanted to work with the builders. I wanted the referrals. I mean, it made sense, right? It's low-hanging fruit. They're building a house, and, you know, if you can get their endorsement to put water treatment equipment into the home, that's great. You know, that's awesome. What I discovered is that builders are more than willing to let you give them free stuff. And so, you know, I ran into that where, you know, I would offer to put a softener in the model, in their model home. And they were like, yeah, sure, absolutely. And then I realized that I had all these, you know, initially I had these softeners in their models and sometimes in their homes, and I didn't really get anything out of it. You know, there was nothing in return for that. So I came to understand that while, you know, I do believe in a give more than you take philosophy, I think that that works in sales and it works in relationships, but it we're still professionals. We still just can't give stuff away. So I came to realize that there is a value in putting a unit in a model or in the builder's home. There's something really of value there, and to do that for free without asking something in return, that's just not good business. It's not good business practice. So I, you know, when I did get those relationships, I did put some softeners or reverse osmosis systems in builders' homes, but it was done with a very clear and communicated expectation that that is in exchange for those referrals, for those endorsements, for the opportunity to get into those homes. You know, as I said, we only have a little bit of time to talk about this today, so I want to just sort of go top level on this. And the first thing I want to do is break down the different types of builders. Not all builders are in the same category, right? So I think that you really have three different levels of builders out there. You've got your small custom home builders, the ones that are very involved in the process. Often they are out, you know, at the work site doing the work, you know, actually doing the builder. So when I say a small one, I would say that they are doing, you know, they have their crews that they work with pretty regularly, but they're going to be doing, you know, one to maybe 20 homes, I think 20, maybe on the high end, probably more realistically, you know, 5 to 10 homes a year that they're building. They're very involved in the process. They care for their customers. They've worked on referrals. They are looking, you know, they buy property and they're very invested in it themselves. So those are the custom builders. I think you then have the smaller development builders, the ones that are, they're still involved. They still own the company. But they're not necessarily at the work site all the time. They maybe buy a farm or some land and they'll do an entire development, you know, with homes in it. And maybe they'll have a model home at the beginning and they've hired a salesperson who is actually a realtor that works in that model home periodically. And then you've got the massive builders like the Pulte Homes or the, you know, the ones that are nationwide that they basically have, the builder quote unquote is nowhere involved. I mean, this is a machine. They're mass producing these houses and these developments. You go into a development, you know, that has 200 homes in it, and you'll have three or four models at the beginning, and those are the models that you can buy. Basically, it's catalog. They're catalog houses. You go in and you go through the model, you pick your floor plan, you open up a catalog, and the person buying the house, they go through the catalog and say, yes, I want these windows, I want these countertops, I want these this flooring, you know, and they've got sections and they basically pick the stuff out of a catalog. So just, and I'll pause here. Am I missing any? Does anybody else have a different category of builder that they generally would work with?
This is Jordan Boone with Trident Water. I deal with a little bit of both of those. More are like, I know you were saying Pulte. I deal with a lot of Toll Brothers out here. We're in PA.
Yeah, Toll Brothers is another one. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, they just pop up like grass seed out here.
Yep.
Literally, you can just go into like their little front area, hand them their business card, and they have in the front of that house, in front of that model home, is their office, and they have like, I have contractors that have gotten my cards from there, and even the residents that are moving into those homes have gotten my cards from that, and that has turned into great referrals. Just in that way.
Yeah. Have you ever met either of any of the Toll Brothers?
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's exactly where we're at on that. So those are the larger ones. And let's start there with those, because I think you're doing that exactly right. Let's start with those huge homes, those big developers, because I think that you're doing exactly what I usually suggest, which is the relationship with those larger companies like Toll Brothers or Pulte or, you know, some of those massive developers like that, you're not going to have success. You're just not ever going to meet any. I don't even know if the Toll Brothers are still around. I mean, maybe, you know, our Pulte is still around there. But the relationship has to be with the people in that office. And you probably, you say Scott, is it, what did you say your name was? Jason.
Jordan.
I'm sorry, Jordan. You probably will find that if you've got, you know, 10 different developments that are being built by Toll Brothers, you'll have more success at one than some of the others, or you know, at some of them than some of the others, because the relationship is with the people in that office, right? It's with the salespeople in the office. It's their willingness to go in there. And there, you know, again, we don't have a ton of time on this call, but there are some real challenges with that in that, you know, they're salespeople, and sometimes they're telling, you know, they don't want to put a negative involved in that, because somebody comes in and say, you know, and here's what we're doing for water treatment. If somebody knows that they need water treatment, particularly, you know, if you can get them to focus on the drinking water side, but a lot of times these are on city water, and they don't want to tell people that they have to have a water softener, you know, so you run into that. Go ahead, Jordan. It sounds like you want to add.
Because what I'm finding in a lot of these new construction houses is we know the parts and the fixtures that they're making nowadays are not meant to last at all.
A lot of it
is going in black instead of the basic chrome or stainless. Yeah. So lot of my developments around here, I get these calls where it's 2 to 4 months into that they just moved in and the house is only 4 months old, that it's already looked like the house is a year to a year and a half old.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard.
Yeah,
it's just eating it apart. And,
so you have the relationship with the salesperson there. Do you have equipment in their model at all, or is it just the business cards?
It's just the business cards right now. I did ask if I could do like a model, but the two sites that I went to, they kind of like diverted in some way. So I don't think they want. But I'm just like, if you can at least hand the cards out, or if somebody asks, at least go from there, and I can do the models. I mean, I'm riding up and down the streets. They see our trucks.
Yeah.
They see my cars. So if I'm going to either the like townhome section or the single family section, I'll hit the house on the side or across with like another business card to make sure that it stays there.
So the reason you can't get that in the model a lot of times on those larger ones is everything is corporate, and the person there in the office, they're not making that decision, and the bureaucracy, the people that you have to, you know, the hoops that you have to jump through.
what I encourage people to do on that, because they do have, when you buy a house in there, as I said, they have a catalog, and they have relationships with people already, you know. And so if you can find out who is responsible for, and this is going to be at the corporate office somewhere. You find out who is responsible for that catalog, for putting things in that catalog, and see if you can get a meeting with them and have a conversation, and just see if you're able to become an option, you know, either for the reverse osmosis or the, and a lot of times, you know, maybe they're already using, you know, I've seen General Electric or they'll put in like a box door, you know, a softener or something like that. And that's great. You don't have to be the only one that they offer. I think that's a mistake that a lot of people make, is thinking that, oh, well, they're already offering a softener in their catalog. Well, they have in that catalog multiple options, good, better, best options. You can upgrade your windows or your air conditioning or, you know, your, you know, the Wi-Fi or, I don't know, different things in that house, carpeting, padding, you know, each one, they've got the builder's grade, and then they've got the upgrades that you can go through and make your, you know, see if you can get in there with that relationship and become an option in that catalog, you know, and that's where you're going to be able to get success, to get that stronghold. And that's not going to be, you know, in Toll Brothers or Pulte, it's not going to be nationwide. They do use some local services just by necessity in those. But you've got to get in that catalog, and that's going to happen at the corporate level. It's not going to happen with that salesperson in that home. So and that, a lot of that is going to be the same. You are going to have more success with that builder that, you know, bought that farm and is doing 60 homes. You know, it's one builder or maybe a couple builders in this one development. You'll have several there. You can have a little better success when they're not those huge nationwide pop-up like mushroom houses, cookie-cutter houses. But you're right, Jordan, that they're just popping these things up, and they're doing it as quickly and as inexpensively as possible. I mean, they're just popping them up. I know my brother just bought one of those houses down in Georgia, and it just the amount of things that are deteriorating and breaking, you know, within a year, because they don't expect, you know, people, they sell the house, and then it's up to people. It's up to, I mean, they can be very expensive over the first couple of years to have to replace, you know, and rebuild into the quality of things that they want. So that's where the opportunity is for that, especially, oh my God, I love what you said about the black fixtures and appliances. Those things are going to show up. Like, they may look sharp at first, but they're going to show the calcium spots like crazy. I want to take a minute and just talk about the custom builders, those smaller builders that you're working with. And what these builders, they are very involved in the building process. They are these builders are talking directly to the buyer, to the people buying the house. They are much more involved. And there's a couple things that I learned from them, which is that what they mostly want more than anything else is not to have headaches, because they are so involved and they're building a house. They are building a higher quality home. They're working directly with the homeowner and that stuff. But they are also, they don't want things to break. And if they do break, if something does break, they want to know that they've got the person that they can call on speed dial and pick up the phone, and that person is going to answer and respond. If you do not, so, I mean, the goal of you is to get in that builder's phone. You want that number. You want your number programmed in that small custom builder's phone, because he doesn't have time. Homeowners call him when he's on a job and he's off to the next house. And the guy is wearing a billion hats and trying to manage his crews and the scheduling. And he's doing so much of that himself. He doesn't have time. So when that homeowner calls and says, hey, I have a crack in my sidewalk, or,
or I don't think my water softener is working, or it's leaking, or something like that, he doesn't want to – he's going to forget about it. He needs to address that. As soon as he hangs up with the customer, he needs to be able to pick up the phone and call somebody to fix that and know that it's going to be fixed and that he's going to be able to count on that. He's not going to want to dig through a computer somewhere to find your number. He's not going to want to look for a business card. He's going to want to be able to know who you are by your first name, and he's going to want to go in there, and he's probably going to have your name, you know, programmed in, Jordan Water. It's not going to be even your company name. He's not even going to have your company name in there. It's going to be your first name, and it's going to be water or water softener or something like that. And he's going to hit that button, and when that builder calls, you've got to be on top of it. And the first couple times that he calls you and you take care of the problem and he never hears from it again and it's completely done, or the customer, even better yet, says, wow, you're the water softener guy was the best part of it, you know, best part of this whole process. Now he's always going to use you. I have not been in sales in almost 20 years. And I still, on occasion, because I still have the same cell phone number, I still get phone number or phone calls from one builder in particular that in 20 years has still not taken my number out of his phone. And he calls me and asks me for referrals on, you know, for who he should call for water. I mean, it's just ingrained. That's what they want. Once you get to that point, now I will tell you also that these builders are having these conversations with the buyers, and they often do not think that the buyer is going to be able to afford what you have, especially the most expensive or the nicest quality one that you have. Because, you know, think about it from the very beginning. I mean, the builder knows what they're approved for. He knows when they're over budget. He knows that the homeowner is asking him to, you know, hey, can you take this wall? I know this was on the blueprints, but can you take this wall down? Can you put a different door in? And then they're complaining about having to pay extra. And so he does. It's a respectful conversation often with those homeowners, with his buyers, but he doesn't. You know, he thinks that they're out of money, and that they are. You know, that they're not going to be able to do that. The other thing that you have to be aware of is sometimes they don't want to mess with the water treatment at all. They leave it entirely up to the homeowner because they don't want to add to those things that could go wrong, right? It's one more thing in the house that they don't necessarily consider a critical component. And if they can stay out of it and leave it entirely up to the homeowner, the same way they would a deck or gutters or landscaping, then they're often going to do that because they don't want to get involved with that. It's just one more thing that could potentially go wrong. I ran into a builder one time. It took me a really long time to get a relationship with the guy. To get a referral from him. I mean, that's the other thing, especially in a small town. Don't expect just to walk up and suddenly be able to get it. If it's easy to get that relationship with that builder, my guess is it's not going to be that's not going to be your best relationship, because easy come, easy go. The more you have to work to earn a builder's trust, the stronger that relationship will end up being. And that is not, you know, if you've only been at the company for 2 months, the builder's skeptical because he's seen salespeople come and go. He wants to know that you are going to be there long term, that you're going to answer the phone, that you're going to be able to take care of it. This builder, it took me a really long time, about a year. He did a great job. I had met some of his customers. His customers loved him. He did not want to refer any water treatment because he'd had some bad experiences with other water treatment guys that were out there, and it took a really long time, and some of his customers saying, hey, he should refer me. You know, I would ask him when I'd sell a system to a house that he had built, I would ask him, you know, if you talk to the guy's name was Guy, actually, if you talk to Guy, you know, please
you know, let them know about this experience and, you know, that we did. Finally, I got a referral in this beautiful house, this custom house. And I went out to this house, and as it turns out, I mean, these people had horrible water, but they also wanted the top of the line of everything. And it ended up being, you know, like a $6,000 sale, and this was 20 years ago, keep in mind. And when the builder, and this builder did not want a referral check, he wanted me to pass the discount on to the customer, which I did. You know, I gave him the builder's, gave them kind of his builder discount. I appreciated that. I mean, but when he found out what this customer paid for this water treatment equipment, which was top of the line, is really super high quality equipment, you know, and a lot of it, they'd gotten a lot of stuff. He felt like I'd gone in and ripped him off. He felt like I had completely taken advantage of them and had sold them stuff that they didn't need. And eventually I was able to get a conversation with him. He was mad at me. I mean, like kind of furious. The customers were very happy. Eventually I was able to get a conversation with him and kind of explain, but I never got another referral from him. It was, so you just have to be aware that just because you got that referral, the relationship is not just with the customer, but it's got to be with that builder as well. You've got to be cognizant of what that builder is looking for and what drives them. And, you know, the fact that the guy did not want to, he didn't want his referral. He didn't want it. You know, I usually gave, depending on the relationship, I would give, you know, 10%. Now, the way I did that, by the way, is I never, we did a 10% rebate back to the builder. So once the customer bought something, we issued a check later because I maintain price integrity. Even if the builder bought it, I did not give him the, 10% off. We sold it at full price and then gave the 10% check back because we wanted to maintain price integrity. And by the way, on that one, I had one builder, actually the guy that ended up building my house. He didn't want to, it was a phenomenal relationship with him. He got to the point where he would automatically just include the system that we carried into the house. I mean, he would call me up and say, hey, they're ready for the water system. And it was a done deal. When I saw he was building a house, I knew that one of our systems was going in, and he would just call me up. So I automatically gave him that, but he didn't want the money. It would have been more taxes. You know, we would have had to send him a 1099 to file and all that, but he actually had two minor children, and we ended up writing I paid for their college, or he paid for their college, but we paid for his kids' college with those referrals because they were minor children. And so we would alternate every other referral. We sent the minor children a 1099, you know, cause it was plenty there, but we would alternate every other referral, a check to his minor children, which he then put into his college fund and didn't have to worry about the taxes. So I don't know if that is something that would fit into your company, or, you know, you'd have to talk to your accountant about that, but it kind of worked for us. It was pretty cool. So, all right. As I said, there's so much information when it comes to builders. I don't know if any of this, if anybody learned anything in the last minute here. Does anybody have any final thoughts or comments about any of this?
Kelly, this is Elaine.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi there. We work a lot with the real estate community, and it's similar issues here. I think a lot of times that they do not want to bring attention to having hard water because you're trying to make a sale. So what we offer is a solution to oftentimes a problem they don't even know they have. So that's a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't want to talk about the negative. That I see that a lot with salespeople, and that's where it does take time for them to realize that. That's why sometimes the focus should be more on the drinking water side of it, like the reverse osmosis, you know, than the softener if necessary. But yeah, I agree. That's a challenge sometimes, for sure. So thank you. It's good to hear you, Lane. It's been a while since you've been on. I'm glad you made it. So missed you guys.
Yeah, me too.
So anybody else? All right. We are out of time. Thank you, everybody, very much. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.